Thank you and good morning, and welcome once again to another radio program from the Independence Baptist Church of Forestdale, Missouri. We're glad you're listening this morning, and it is our prayer that you'd receive a blessing from hearing a portion of the Word of God today. We would like to take this opportunity to invite you to come to the services at the Independence Baptist Church. We meet at 124 South Main in the city of Forestdale. Our Sunday school begins this morning at 10 o'clock with regular classes for all ages. And we do invite you to come, knowing that you'll hear the Word of God in these classes. At 11 o'clock this morning, our regular worship service begins, and of course you're welcome to come to this service. Our evening worship begins at 4 o'clock with our prayer meeting, and then at 4:30 for our evening preaching service. On Wednesday is our midweek Bible study beginning at 7 o'clock. And so these are our services, and we do pray that you would come to the Independence Baptist Church knowing that if you're searching for a church home, you'll find at Independence Baptist Church a church that believes and practices what the Bible says. We'd like to read this morning again the book of Galatians chapter 1, verse 6 through 9, as we continue on the message concerning the perverted gospel. Paul wrote to the Galatian church in Galatians chapter 6 and verse 1. I marvel that ye are so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ into another gospel, which is not another, but there be some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ. But though we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. As we said before, so say I now again. If any man preach any other gospel unto you than that which ye have received, let him be accursed. Last Sunday morning we began this series concerning the perverted gospel, and we were showing that there is a difference between the true gospel of Jesus Christ and the perverted gospel that is preached in the days of Paul and in our day today. And for you that listen, it is very important that you understand the difference between the two. We spent all last time's message concerning the differences between the old gospel and the new gospel. And so, to kind of draw a conclusion to that, the Bible does tell us that the old gospel preaches that man is a total sinner, that he must come to God without having anything at all to offer. And then the new gospel preaches that there's something good in every man. You just have to find that little spark of good, that little light, and light it up and it'll be fine. You know, that's a perverted gospel. It's not so. The language used by the old and the new gospel is the same, but the result is marked difference. The new gospel draws a friendly parallel between the ways of God and the ways of man. That's a false gospel. It is actually a cruel gospel, for its end is the end, is the way of death. You see, the faith of Jesus Christ does not run on a parallel line with the world. Rather, it intersects the world. It comes at a 90-degree angle to the world. It's an entirely different ball game altogether. In coming to Christ, we do not bring our old life up to a higher plane. Rather, we leave our old life at the cross. You see, the corn of wheat must fall to the ground and die. Now, I believe that preachers especially have a great responsibility in preaching the truth of the Word of God to our listeners. You see, preachers are not public relations agents sent out to establish goodwill between Christ and the world. We must not imagine that we are commissioned to make Christ and His gospel acceptable to big business, the press, or the world of sports, or modern education. We must understand that we are not diplomats. We're preachers. We're prophets. We're people of God. Our message is not a message of compromise, but our message is a message of ultimatum. It's either God's way or there is no way at all. God offers life. God does not offer an improved old life. God offers a new life, a changed life, a greater life than the old life could ever even think about. The life that God offers is a life that comes out of death. This life, this new life, stands on the other side of the cross. Whosoever would possess the new life of God must go through the cross in order to possess it. He must turn against himself and concur with God's just sentence against him. You see, a lot of preaching today is very, very shallow. There's a lot of preachers' meetings that ministers can go to. A lot of conferences, a lot of promotional campaigns, a lot of places where you can go and learn methodology. A lot of seminars, a lot of how to do it. There's been very little emphasis upon doctrinal preaching. This has left a vacuum, you see, for heresy, for tongues, for ignorance about a lot of things. Listen, the emphasis in many churches, emphasis in many places has been shifted from preaching to promotion. The Bible says, preach the word. But the world says, promote your church. Promote this program. There's a lot of churches that go from one program to another, searching for the ideal program that will cause their church to grow. The important thing is that we need to preach what God says. God is the one that saves souls. God is the one that adds souls unto His churches. We need to preach the gospel. We need to preach what God's Word says. And yet today, there's super aggressive evangelism with slogans such as, win the lost at any cost. There's the slogans, the top 10 Sunday schools, the largest Sunday school since Pentecost. The end justifies the means. A lot of churches are nothing but sideshows where there's ringmasters for pastors and cheap carnival tactics. I have heard of preachers saying that what we're going to do if we get so many in Sunday school, I'm going to blow a brick off the altar with my breath. Another pastor says, I will eat my lunch on the roof of the church if we can just have so many in Sunday school. Another pastor says, well, if we have so many in Sunday school, I'll let the one that brings the most visitors cut off my tie. Can't you just see Jesus doing that? Can't you just see the Apostle Paul putting forth a proposition like that to the church at Galatia, to the church at Colossae, to the church at Philippi? Can't you just see the Apostle James saying, well, if we can get so many, then I'll let you come and you can cut off my mustache. Can't you? Those are just cheap carnival tactics. And churches that present those things are just, they're just using carnival ways, entertainment means to get people to come into their congregations. You know what we need? We need the pure preaching of the Word of God. For listen, we're supposed to be Spirit-controlled. We're supposed to be Spirit-compelled. God is supposed to put in our hearts His Word for a lost and dying world. Souls are going into eternity without Jesus Christ. And they need to hear the truth of God's own precious Word, that Jesus loves sinners, that He came to die on the cross, that men and women and boys and girls might come to Him and be saved before it's everlastingly too late for them. The thought today is, and you know that it's so, what I'm saying to you, you know that it's so. You know from your own experience, listen, the thought today is, if it's big, it's got to be good. If it's big, it must be scriptural. Somebody says, if you don't baptize 300 a year, you're not a success. You're not spiritual. Listen, these philosophies have led to overextension of churches and bankruptcy. If I'm not mistaken, during the ministry of Jesus Christ, and He was on this earth for 3.5 years, preaching and teaching what His Father told Him to say. Jesus was doing His Father's will. Jesus was doing God's will. And during that 3.5 years, when Jesus came to the time when He died on the cross, nobody understood why. The disciples didn't know why Jesus had to die. And on the day of Pentecost, the Bible said that there were only 120 people gathered together. And I know that people today say, well, you know, we have to have a lot of people to be a success. And I know that there's churches that go around and say, well, you know, we're the largest church, we're the largest Sunday school since Pentecost. I wonder what God says about it. I wonder if when God looks down from the heavens, what God calls a success. You know, I remember a time that when Jesus was here upon the earth, that He was standing by the treasury, and all the people began to come by one and drop their offerings into the treasury. The rich men brought of their abundance and their wealth. And then the Bible says that here came a little old widow woman, and she had a mite, about a tenth of a penny, and she put in. And you know, Jesus said that this widow woman put in more than all the other people, because she put in all her living. You know, I believe it's that way about churches. A church might have 1,000 members and be very, very small as far as God's will is concerned. But a church could have a few members doing what God says and giving all they have to the church of the Lord Jesus Christ, which is His body. And God would say, they've given more than all the vast multitude of all the gimmicks and all the things that man can devise. Listen, what we need today is a return to what God says in His Word. And you know that it's so. I don't have to tell you that. You know in your own life the vacancy that lies in your heart because you're not doing what you know God wants you to do. I don't have to explain that to you. You know what it is already. And if you're without Jesus Christ, we pray that God will save you. And if you're saved, our prayer is that God would burden you, that you might not be content to continue your life the way that it is, but that you might, by the power of God, come to Him just as a saved sinner, and say, Lord, here I am. Use me. Well, we see that our time has gone away from us again today. We do invite you to come again to the services at the Independence Baptist Church, 124 South Main in Forestdale, Missouri. Thank you now for listening.